Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ be unto you now and forevermore.
Amen. Amen.
Well, this is a special day. It's special because it's Easter, and we are Easter people. It's special for me, too, because it is my last Sunday with you. And on these occasions, though it's been some 35 years when I've been having these transitions of coming and going, whether in a parish or in the military chaplaincy, I find I always learn something, even on the last day. And certainly at LCH, this is a place where you still learn the last day. But it also causes me to reflect on other congregations, other pastorates. And I can't help but think at Easter time of my first congregation in Buffalo, New York, shipping the ice as we prepare for Easter. On my first Easter with that congregation, we had a section underneath the organ pipes where we could put certain displays, and the youth group and I were making a tomb out of paper mache and chicken wire. And it was getting late. They were having more fun plastering each other than they were the tomb. And I received a phone call. The retired organist was in the hospital. His pacemaker had failed, and he would have just hours before he would pass. And so I left the youth group and went off to the hospital to spend the next several hours with Stan and his family. Stan was still lucid enough that he had the opportunity to call all of his friends and loved ones and to tell them of his love for them and to bid them farewell. And as his family members stood around the bed, his wife Bernice said, "You know, Pastor, Easter is Stan's favorite time of the year. Stan, tell Pastor about that." And so he explained to me that after his 50-some, 60-some years of being an organist, he hadn't found any music that had excited him as much as the Easter music. And he found no opportunity to celebrate with the family of God any more fulfilling than the Easter service. And so as a tear rolled down his cheek, he said his biggest disappointment this year would be that he would die before he would have the opportunity to hear once more, "Christ is risen." But then a tremendous transformation came over Stan, and his face lit up. And he said, "Oh, Pastor, I just realized I'm going to get to hear the angel chorus today. And I'm going to get to greet Jesus and say, 'You are risen, and so am I.'" Stan was an Easter person. We are Easter people. Yet in order to be truly Easter people, we need to be fully in touch with all that led up to Jesus' return from the tomb. Even before I was ordained, Easter was special for me too, and my Herr Pastor, was someone I looked up to, and I still remember some of his sermons. One sermon included a quote that I hear in my head every time I read this lesson from Luke. George Fielden MacLeod said, "I am recovering the claim that Jesus was not crucified in a cathedral between two candles, but on a cross between two thieves. On the town garbage heap. At a crossroads so metropolitan that they had to write his title in Hebrew, Latin, and Greek. At the kind of place where cynics talk smut, and thieves curse, and soldiers gamble. Because that is where he died. And that is what he died about. And that is where church people should be, and what church people should be about." Jesus came among us as fully human, in part so that we would know that he understood what it was like to face the challenges of life. He also came among us to show how God would have us live the lives that he gave us. Individuals and throngs were drawn to him because he spoke to the real needs, the real issues of everyday life. And not only gave them hope, but gave them the ability to live fully now. And he gave them a new understanding of God. Not as a God who punishes or requires sacrifice, but as God the Father, who loves with a love that is so pure, so awesome, that he would sacrifice his son for you and for me. Jesus met us where we live. He will continue to meet us where we live. So now, after he has conquered one of humanity's greatest fears, death, he returns to minister to the living, who act as if there is no life left in them, in their terrible grief and despair. The women who have loved him have returned to the tomb following the Sabbath to do their duty. It was the duty of family to anoint the body, and so showing that they had adopted Jesus into their Hanai family, and that he had loved them as only a family member could. They go to do their duty. But they did not come looking for a living Jesus. They came looking for his remains. They had not comprehended the real meaning of his words any more than the disciples had. Despite their desire to come and do what was good and right and proper, they are chided by the angels. "Why do you seek the living among the dead?" In other words, why are you acting as functional atheists? People who say they believe in Christ, but act as if God is dead. Is that message applicable for us today? Are our lives apart from Sunday morning suggestive that we are functional atheists? That we say we believe in God, in the risen Christ, but act as if God were dead? Remember what he said, the angels tell them. They do not just say to think about what Jesus said, but to represent what Jesus said and what Jesus did. Let that help you comprehend that he is not here, they were told. Let your remembrance of his words and his deeds help you to understand that he is risen. Remember. The criminal on the adjacent cross, we refer to as the good thief, says, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. He is not asking that Jesus think about him when he ascends the heavenly throne. And Jesus' answer confirms what remembering him will mean. Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. Remember. As Jesus shares the Passover meal with his disciples, he gives one more tradition from the time of Moses new meaning. As he breaks the Passover bread, so rich in meaning and tradition, he gives it a new meaning as he says, "This is my body given for you." As he takes the Passover cup, full again of rich religious tradition, representing in some cases the tears of God, the new tears of God are represented in his blood shed for us. Do this, he tells us, as often as you do in remembrance of me. As the women at the empty tomb remember the words coupled with the ministry of Jesus, they are given new life. They will never be the same. These first Easter people are compelled to go and to represent the good news of the Jesus who walked among them and who led them prior to the crucifixion, but also of the resurrected Jesus who now will walk among them and lead them into the new age when the Spirit will join and guide them. It is about life now. It is about receiving the power of the resurrection and remembering that it comes after Jesus accepted our punishment. We are free. We are forgiven. We are able to be in a new relationship with God. We are restored because of his sacrificial love. We are the people God created in his image for the purpose of a relationship with him and meant to use our gifts in service to others as Christ had taught us. Remember. Remember what Christ has done for you, that you can start living free and living completely today. Remember how it feels to be loved that much. Remember that you are a child of God among other children of God. Other children who do not know of the gifts or the love of God. Hear the word of the messengers of God to remember, and then to go and tell the good news. Christ has left the empty tomb, and he is on the road ahead of you. Shouldn't you be on your way? Amen. The peace of God which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.